Penguin Random House Canada presents The Dollhouse, A Ghost Story by Karis Cotter. Read for you by AJ Bridell. To sleep, perchance to dream, aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come. William Shakespeare, Hamlet. Part 1. The Haunted House. Prelude. Fizz. I slept for a long, long time. Now and then, sounds filtered through heavy layers of sleep. The murmur of voices. Faint, far away music. Summer rain pattering on the roof. Birds chattering high in the branches of trees. Wind whistling around the corners of the house. Thunder. People calling to each other. Children laughing. Someone walking in the garden, singing. And every so often the train whistle, blowing sharp and lonely through the night, rising and falling as the train approached, passed, and then faded away into the distance. I turned over with a sigh in my soft, high bed and fell deeper into sleep. I slept for a long, long time. Chapter 1. The Train. The train rumbled through the gathering dusk. Every so often, it gave a long, mournful hoot that echoed through the countryside. I shivered. Our house was near the railway tracks in the city, and I had always loved hearing that lonely, haunting sound when I lay safe and warm in bed at night. But it was very different to be inside the whistling train, in the very heart of that desolate cry, hurtling into an unknown future with my mother sitting rigid beside me, tears falling in a steady stream down her face. We had been on the train for 5 hours. I first noticed that she was crying somewhere in the middle of hour one, and her tears had been ebbing and flowing ever since. Every now and then, I reached out and gave her hand a squeeze, and she'd come out of it for a moment, shaking away the tears impatiently and wiping at her face with the handkerchief she kept gripped in her fist. "I'm all right," she would say. "I'm fine." But a little while later, when I turned back to her from the hypnotic view of houses, trees, and roads, the tears were slipping down her face again, and her eyes looked far away at something that was not visible to me. It was all wrong. Tonight we were supposed to be in a rental cottage with Dad by a small lake far to the north of the city. We'd arranged for me to get out of school a week early, because these 2 weeks were the only time he could get off work. He traveled a lot, and lately it seemed like we hardly ever saw him. We hadn't had a summer holiday together for years, and we were all looking forward to it. At least, I thought we were. Yesterday, when I came home from school, charging happily into the kitchen, bubbling over with that fizzy school's over feeling, I ran smack into a big fight. Mom was yelling,
"It's the last straw, Stephen. I won't take it anymore."
And he was shrugging his shoulders and saying calmly,
"What can I do? It's my job."
And then Mom started yelling again,
"If you loved us, you would make this holiday happen the way you promised. You never keep your promises to me or to Alice, and I told you, if you let us down this time, I was leaving. That's it."
Then she turned and saw me, standing at the door with my heavy knapsack full of everything I'd cleaned out of my desk from the year at school. Notebooks, and books, and markers, and colored pencils.
"Alice,"
she said, her face crumbling.
"I'm sorry, honey. We're not going to the cottage. Your dad can't make it. So none of us are going."
I looked from one to the other.
"Dad? Mom?" I'm sorry, Allie. I'm really sorry. But I absolutely have to be in L.A. tomorrow. It came up at the last minute. It always comes up at the last minute,
yelled my mom.
I warned you. And as always, you didn't listen. We're done.
Done? I said, in a squeaky voice.
I'm leaving you, Stephen, said my mom. And I'm taking Alice with me.
My knapsack fell to the floor with a thud.
For goodness sake, Ellie, don't be so dramatic,
said my dad. She shook her head, tears falling, and picked up the telephone.
Who are you calling?
He demanded.
The Wilsons. I'm canceling the cottage.
What are you talking about? We'll lose our deposit. You and Alice can still go.
My mother spoke remarkably calmly into the telephone.
This is Ellie Green. I'm calling to cancel our booking at the cottage. There's been a family emergency. Please call me back when you get this message.
She hung up the phone just as my father lurched toward her to try and grab it.
It's done, Stephen, she said. Go to L.A. Alice and I will not be here when you get back.
I stood, gaping at her, feeling the floor tilting beneath my feet as my family slipped sideways and fell in pieces. That was yesterday. Dad left an hour later to catch a flight to Los Angeles, where a building project urgently needed his attention for the next few weeks. He hugged me before he left, the familiar, peppery smell of his expensive aftershave filling my nose as he held me longer than usual. When he pulled away, he automatically smoothed down his snappy designer jacket in case I'd wrinkled it, like he always did. But his eyes were full of tears and his mouth tight.
I'm sorry, Allie,
he said, his voice cracking.
We'll fix this. I promise.
Behind us, my mother snorted. She was really mad. And we all knew how many times he'd promised things would be different, and they never were. This afternoon, Mom and I boarded the train to Lakeport, a small town a six-hour ride from the city. Mom made a few phone calls last night and accepted a job there looking after an old lady who had broken her leg. My mother's a nurse and works on contract. The agency had called her earlier in the week to see if she would take this job, and now they were happy to hear she was available after all. It started right away. A live-in position, and a 12-year-old daughter was no problem. Lots of room, they said. A big house. I didn't see why we couldn't go to the cottage and leave Dad after our holiday, if we had to leave him at all. But Mom was determined. Maybe she thought if she postponed it, she would lose her nerve. So now here we were on the train, speeding into the future, with lush green countryside flashing by and tears trickling down my mother's face. I watched as city gave way to suburbs, then green fields framed with rows of trees, then a few farmhouses, some small towns, and finally, the lake. The lake was enormous. The train ran close to the shore for a while, and all I could see was water going on and on to the horizon. Then the train veered inland again and rattled along past farms and villages, rivers and woods. When we went through small towns, the train slowed down, and I stared into backyards at swing sets, flower gardens, and kids playing. As the light began to fade, some of the windows lit up, and I had brief glimpses inside kitchens and living rooms. I wondered about all those people's lives, and I was filled with a sense of longing. If only we could stop, walk into one of those kitchens and find Dad waiting for us, then go on with our lives in another place where everything was okay and there was no fighting. It could happen. We could get off the train and drive away from the station.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?